The Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman podcast could not survive alone on the new frontier. But we won't give up. And we are not alone anymore. We have committed to covering every episode, and that might be the biggest challenge of all. Welcome to Dr. Quinncast, the Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman podcast.
Hi, welcome to the newest episode of Dr. Quinncast and our second installment of Lunar Palooza. Woo-hoo! I'm Kelly, and I'm here with Mark.
And yeah, Lunar Palooza, it's awesome. I'm psyched.
Yeah, I'm really liking our Lunar Palooza theme. I think it's fun.
Yeah,
and I even, when I was going through this episode to get my notes together, was actually pretty excited because I had forgotten that right at the beginning of the episode, which, by the way, the episode we're talking about is season 3, episode 15, The End of the World, which is a very fun and kind of wacky episode. At the very beginning of it, Brian is getting a new telescope, which the previous episode we recorded for Lunar Palooza, as we recall, Colleen had broken it. So I thought it worked out really nicely, that back-to-back.
Yeah, I think it's great. And he gets a little package, too. Do you notice it was just a little box? So I guess it's just the lenses that we're going to be replacing.
Yeah. It's pretty good continuity, because these are not quite a whole season apart. I mean, this is what, like, middle of the third season, and then that was like towards the end of the second season.
Yeah.
But yeah, they picked right back up, which is probably pretty realistic because I'm sure they would have to special order those things. It might take a while.
Yeah, it probably cost like a fortune. Probably had to get grandma to, you know, order them and have them hand blown and sent from Boston immediately. My grandson needs it. Send nothing for the girl.
And by
the
way, send something for Colleen so she doesn't break this one.
Well, you know what they sent for Colleen? An entire identity. They sent an entire new look for Colleen because it's a new world. It's Colleen 2.0.
Yeah, it's the very first episode we get with Colleen the second.
No, there is so much more to that, though. All right, they swapped her out. Fine. Okay, that is understandable. I even expected it, right?
Yeah.
I didn't know when you were kind enough to not tell me what episode it would be. And I was so blown away by this. My wife and I are both watching and like, did they reshoot the entire intro too? Yes, they did.
Yeah, I remember you messaging me that.
I'm like, are you kidding me? I couldn't imagine the conversation that was made. Look, we have to do it all different. We have to set up the whole shot exactly the same.
Yeah, I know. it probably works out better, though, because they get something a little bit more current, because Brian is still a kid, but he's not quite as little, and I don't know.
You barely see him on the thing, but it's shot
true.
For shot, same angle, everything, except Sully has a beard.
Yeah, we got the bearded Sully. So I like Sully best when he's just, like, a little scruffy, but, like, when he has, like, the beard, not as much, when he's clean-shaven, not as much. I think, like, the scruff is really where it's like his point of perfection.
I just watched his him getting married, and spoiler, you know, they get married.
Yeah, right.
By the way, if you listen to this podcast, we're assuming you've seen them all, right? I mean, that's who we're kind of gearing this towards.
Right, we're gearing it towards established fans, which if people I'm expecting they're established fans and that's why you're like coming across this podcast or maybe even seeking out podcasts about Dr. Quinn. However, if you just stumbled upon and started listening and think it sounds like a good time to watch, it definitely is and you should. But I kind of feel like when a show has ended that long ago and the fan base is pretty well developed, I just kind of feel like you don't really have to worry that much about, like, spoilers. I mean, I know a lot of podcasts for a lot of shows go chronologically and it's sort of
a naturally
perceived format. But I really like going non-chronologically like we're doing because rather than just kind of going over, like, the episodes event by event, I like to look at, like, more of an overarching type thing and, like, talk about characters. And I like pulling in stuff from, like, all over the show for that. And I like kind of looking at themes, and it lets us do like holiday stuff like thematic events such as Lunar Palooza, like we're doing right now.
How exciting.
So, I like doing stuff like that. A little bit, put a little more creativity into it and kind of lets you, I think, develop kind of a deeper look at it at the same time.
And I'll bring up my other podcast, Walnut Grovecast, which touches upon like the whole universe of Little House on the Prairie, and it's completely out of order. It is, and I think it works well. And one thing that I think that as I approached 130 some odd episodes at this point, what I'm learning more and more and more are the episodes that you dislike, the ones that kind of that you turn your nose up at, maybe, and ones that, like, there are certain episodes that I think are filler episodes so far with the world of Dr. Quinn. But I think as I learn the show, as I talk about it more, as I revisit those episodes, they'll become the most fun.
Yeah.
They're crazy. The ones that are just kind of like, what is going on? You don't realize all the little hidden gems in the back, what maybe the writers were really trying to do. And you start kind of breaking it down. And I think you and I are the type of people who can really pull out the best hidden gems in these episodes.
That's what I love to do. And I totally know what you're talking about, because there are even some episodes that I would kind of skip over maybe. Because, like, I mean, I don't really think any of them are like unwatchable, but there are like weaker, like
I
what
didn't
I would
like the
say
recap
are weaker
thing
episodes.
I was just watching.
Yeah. So ones that I wouldn't necessarily seek out or, maybe didn't watch them all that often, but then it would just be like on TV. It kind of changed for me, I think, when we actually got like cable, and I would just like put on the TV and it's like, just on in the background.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, and I would kind of be like, oh, it's this episode. Like, meh, not my favorite, but okay, I'll watch it. And I started watching it, and I haven't seen it for a long time.
Right? And it's like, changes the entire thing.
Right. And then I'm just like, this episode is like way better than I remember, because I start noticing like those little things like you're talking about. And I'm like, there actually is like a lot of good stuff in here.
Yeah. I just watched the recap episode, the one at the end of season 3. And I really dislike recap episodes.
I do too, because they're just so lazy.
But this one, I started kind of thinking of, this is the way I approach it now. I'm like, what can I talk to Kelly about in this episode?
Yeah.
So I'm watching it. I'm thinking, all right, so the minister, the Reverend, whatever he is, the Reverend Johnson, he's talking to
Reverend Alden. Oh, that's wrong show.
He's talking to Michaela and Sully about, whether they really want to get married. It's like this weird dynamic, weird conversation. I'm thinking, did he have the same conversation with Horace and Myra? Because I want to hear that conversation.
That could have gone in some interesting directions. And especially since the episode we just recorded before this one, our first Lunar Palooza one, kind of were like diving into like the kind of weird dynamic that was going on at the beginning of their relationship. And yeah, that would have been really interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I'm wondering, is this, maybe it is, but do we see conversations like this happen again in the future? Probably not.
No, this is the only time we actually like see the couple like, going to the Reverend for like the premarital counseling.
A Reverend who proposed to one of them.
Let me think about it for a second. Yeah. I think that's the only time.
It was just fun.
Yeah, it was just funny. And the whole episode was like, based on it. But there is another one like in the future, like towards the end of the 6th season. That's like another like flashback type episode. I'm not really a fan of the clip things. I mean, I guess I kind of get it when the show is like new and like you're not like,
I just think they're filler episodes.
They totally are. It's like when the show's just first aired, I guess I can like sort of see what the purpose of it would be. Mm-hmm. But then when you're just like watching it, and especially if you're like binge watching it, it's just kind of like, it doesn't work.
I usually pass on Christmas episodes, and that's not just because I'm Jewish, just because Christmas episodes are usually garbage episodes. They're just the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. So I did pass the first one, not the second one, because there's Jews in it.
And, well, I think that this show actually,
I'll go back,
the holiday episodes are all pretty well done. And I think, I'm trying to think. Is the first Christmas episode they have the one where like the ghost of Charlotte comes back? Because the
no,
whole
that's
ghost
Halloween,
thing,
isn't
I'm
it?
like, what?
That's Halloween. No,
No,
you're
that
thinking
was
of Charlotte. You're
Abigail on
Abigail.
Halloween, but the first Christmas one that they have. Not to be confused with the first Christmas, which is the one with the
Wait,
Jewish
Charlotte
family that
comes
you're
back?
talking about, but the like first Christmas episode they had, Charlotte's like ghost is visiting. They kind of do that whole like Christmas Carol thing, which is
Yeah, which is
a
what
bit
I kind of would like to avoid.
Yeah, I get it.
Well, I didn't know she came back.
But,
See, I should go back.
But in general, though, I mean, I
Cheryl's
know you're
making
saying
notes
the
right
Christmas
now.
episodes, but they have some pretty good ones. I mean, like there's the one with the Jewish family, which I think is a pretty solid episode.
Yeah.
And then seasons 4 and 5, because I know you're not, you're just entering season 4, so you'll get there soon. But I think 4 and 5 have pretty good
Okay.
Christmas
I'm not going to pass
episodes.
on them anymore.
So.
If anything, I'll go back.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, Hank can do so many bad things these days, but I keep thinking, like, hey, he's looking out for me because I'm Jewish. He's
yeah,
an
you'd
okay
have your
guy.
back in town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
a good moment. Actually, just earlier today in the Facebook group, I had posted because in this episode that we're about to start.
What's the name
know,
of our Facebook
about,
group, by the way?
It is called Dr. Quinn Casts, or is it a podcast about Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman?
I think if you just type Quinn Cast one word, you'll find
Dr.
it.
Dr. Quinn Casts, it'll come in.
What a good
come
name,
up,
right?
In, come up.
Such a
yeah.
good name.
Dr. Quinncast, a podcast about Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman. But just earlier, I had posted this really funny screenshot where Hank is blowing his smoke on horse, and I think it's really funny.
It's the best.
And I just opened up the discussion to be like, what are your favorite Hank moments? Because we know this character has a lot.
You come
and
up with
somebody
the funniest
actually
shots.
Had mentioned, actually, I think I was conversing with somebody, and I mentioned in the first Christmas how he. You know, stuck up for the Jewish family, and it was really nice.
It was nice.
And it was very nice. And the person
to
I was
him.
Talking with, yeah.
All right. You know what? I'm going to stop my yabbering. Cheryl's making notes right now. Cheryl's like, it is now a minute 12, and they've yet to play okay. the first
and
clip,
I do
sir.
Have to just put out there, because I know.
Different Cheryl.
There are different Cheryls. So
Cheryl
Smith,
M. yeah,
who has given us very good feedback.
Oh my God, Cheryl
and
Smith
we're happy
is so
to have
sweet.
You here.
Yeah,
you've been very sweet, very kind. We're excited that you're listening. So if you hear us reference a Cheryl like that, we don't mean you. We love you. We're talking about a different Cheryl who does not like us.
Yeah, we're talking about Cheryl M.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, well, in the future, we'll start phasing out that other Cheryl. But Cheryl Smith, super, yeah. super sweet.
Yeah, so she's supplanting the good Cheryl.
So if you're listening right now, Cheryl Smith, hello.
Yeah, hi. Happy to have you here.
It's like our first shout out, practically. Here we are, we're in the episode, and Brian asks if his telescope is coming. And like you said, this is a really great way of carrying the story along. When the old Colleen bumped it over.
Telescope come, Mr. Gray, did it?
Yeah. Read it again, Dorothy.
The world-famous cometographer, Dr. Jack Lancaster, states with certainty that on the night of the 12th, at exactly midnight, Stowe's comet will careen out of its orbit and collide with the planet Earth, extinguishing all life in a fiery cataclysm.
That's 3 days from now.
Stop it. Dorothy, scaring all the knotheads.
Oh, I love Hank.
I know. He's just sitting in the middle of the crowd smoking his cigar, calling them knotheads. It's great.
And he blows his smoke. I mean, he's just blowing circles or whatever it's called, like rings.
Yeah.
And there is one particular person I want to point out. And when I get to it, I just think you're going to crack up when I point out this guy's face.
I bet I can find that comet with my new telescope lens. Did it come, Mr. Bray?
Oh, it's here. But that comet ain't gonna come crashing into us.
How do you know that?
Because them cometographers, they don't know anything any more than all the rest of the scientists do.
That's not true, is it, Mom? Scientists know things.
Well, of course they do, but in this case, I must agree with Lauren.
But it's in the paper, Dr. Mike.
Well, that doesn't mean it's true, Myra. If there really were a comet set to collide with Earth, the astronomers would have known about it before today.
So as Michaela's talking, there's this tall guy behind her.
I need you to just know
that he's there. And when you go back to the shot, keep an eye on him. He has one look coming up that I just think is, it's worthy of a screenshot.
But it says here that this Dr. Lancaster, sure it's coming.
Well, I've never heard of Stowe's Comet. Well, does the famous Dr. Lancaster have any scientific evidence to support his theory?
It says right here, there will be freak storms and a hail of meteorites will fill the night sky with fireballs from the heavens.
It was right there. I don't know if you saw it.
What's the time stamp on it?
It is like 1:42.
Okay.
And you'll just see his...
What is he doing?
I don't know. How ridiculous does he look? I must have rewound it 30 times on my TV. Isn't that hilarious?
That's awesome.
You can't not see it now. It's like a total photobomb type thing.
I can't believe I've never noticed that before.
That's my job.
And these fireballs will bring with them strange gases that cause changes in the natural order of things, making water run red, forcing animals to alter shape and color, causing the earth to crack open with volcanic-like eruptions where there are no volcanoes.
Well, sounds like a good time to me.
I love Hank. But, you know, everybody else, they're kind of buying into this. I guess, you know, it really is a period of time where people are believing things they read, but Colleen is not really in line with the old Colleen. Because Colleen was calling Brian stupid for believing things that he was reading.
Right, right. And then this Colleen is just totally like, oh my gosh, like totally falling for like that it's in the paper.
Yeah.
But I mean, I have to say, so I get it. So like most of this town is like not literate. I mean, just of like the main cast, we know of a number of people who aren't literate.
What do you think
the
percentage is?
And just imagine like the rest of the people in the town, like probably a lot of people that can't read.
What do you think the percentage is of illiterate people in this town?
I don't know.
I'd say 75%, 80%.
Maybe. Of the adults, at least. You know, the kids have the school and everything now. So the kids, I think, are, like, literate. But, yeah, but then, like, Dorothy's, her, like, mindset is, like, I mean, she wants to be a reporter. She calls herself a reporter, but I say she wants to be a reporter.
Yeah.
Her, like, mindset, I'm just, like, that's not how it works, Dorothy. I mean, she just has, like, no critical thought that she, like, applies to it. Because it's just like, oh, what's written right here? And then, like, you know, someone will be like, well, and by someone I mean Michaela, because she's the only one who points it out. But she'll be like, okay, that's, like, not true. It's just something that somebody wrote. And she'll be like, but it says right here. And I'm like, just because it's there doesn't mean it's true. Like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, I think... It was very easy to make people very gullible. I mean, take advantage of gullible people back then. But even this, I think that the story is kind of crazy. But there are some things that happen in the town that I think are unexplained. So,
Yeah, like the timing of events. It's very strange. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm just excited because this show, I mean, this episode really puts us doing a whole fast forward to Lunapalooza.
Yeah.
I keep saying Lunapalooza, but it's not loser.
Lunapalooza.
Lunapalooza. Oh. With Primus playing. That's all I think of with Lollapalooza is Primus. All right. So as we go on, people are just listening. Should I continue playing that clip? Is there more to it?
I think we're good with that one. We can probably move on to the next one. I mean, they're just all getting all, you know, worked up. And
I love how Hank calls it, basically he's referring to Horace as a knothead. I just think that's...
Yeah, I know. I think that's hilarious. Oh, just like one, you don't have to like play the rest of the clip because it's mostly just the crowd being like riled up. But I think it is pretty funny that when Horace like asks for the paper... He's like, look, here's a picture of it. And that gets, it's like a drawing. Like, it's like somebody's drawing. And he's like, here's a picture. And then they're all like, oh.
Oh, my God, not the drawing. So here we are in the backyard. We have a fully functional telescope. I don't know who put this together for him, but.
I could see Sully maybe handling that job.
Yeah.
He knows how to do it for some reason.
it! Come on, hurry!
So it is a comet, right? It's
a comet. Well, a meteor,
well,
right?
Yeah, a meteorite, not a comet, yeah. A meteorite crash.
I don't know. I don't really know what the difference is between the two, to be honest.
I don't think a comet actually makes contact with the Earth.
I think
a meteorite would. But, you know, we do get to see this meteor fragment. And I looked on eBay, and everything on eBay is real because, you know, I read it. And
it wouldn't be on eBay.
It wouldn't be on
eBay.
It wouldn't be on the internet, Kelly, if it wasn't real.
Yeah. And, said Thomas Jefferson.
Didn't he? Oh, so a fragment this size, which is the size of like a softball, would be probably like $30,000 or worth that much. So too bad.
Well, really?
No, yeah. I mean, they don't even have fragments this large there, but they have small fragments for hundreds and thousands of dollars. So I'm guessing a larger one would be worth more. And I also think that it would be radioactive. I mean, it just traveled through the atmosphere.
How long would it stay radioactive? Is that a stupid question? I'm not a science person. I mean, it like
I agree, it
wears
is a stupid
off,
question,
right?
And I do not have an answer. So if we have any budding scientists out there, if you could just tell us the half-life of a meteorite, like how I'm like,
yeah,
it is a stupid question, and I do not have an answer. So. So, yeah, they go on, and they're all running towards there. Even Wolf. Wolf's like, oh, I'm up for my nap.
It was like that was the fastest run he's ever had.
Yeah, it really was. He's good at night.
Still smoking.
What is it?
Talk about Hank there.
Still smoking. Yeah, you see a little picture of Hank. Hey, guys. And Michaela leans in, and she whispers, Hank. We want to have a contest, and if people could listen, this is a pretty interesting contest. We want to find the person who could whisper the name Hank properly. It's impossible. Mm-hmm. Hank. It's. I feel like I have asthma when I say it.
Hank.
And I'm. You know what? I'm going to give out the phone number. It's. We have a hotline, and if you dial 516-308-2397 and leave a message with your whisper of Hank. Don't try to be too creepy about it. But if we like what we hear, we'll play it on the air. And I'll share the number, but I don't want to give it out 1,000 times.
It'll be very fun.
Very fun. Pete's going to be there. Pete's going to spend like 2 hours on it. Hank. the best person who can whisper Hank gets a free sticker. Dr. Quinn, I promised a free sticker for something in the last episode, and I don't remember what that was. But hopefully people will remind me.
Which still will stand, because I don't know how many people would actually do it. But if you hear my dog howling in the background, if you email the timestamp to Kelly at drquincast.com.
Or call our hotline with the timestamp, 516.
Yeah, now, or call the hotline and tell us what the timestamp was.
I have to see if this spells anything. It would be kind of awesome if it was like 308 Hank, but I don't think it is. But 516-308-2397. Back to the show. And we're back. So yeah, they're going and it's smoking. I was expecting from the beginning of like Superman, like a little naked kid to walk out. It was a little ding-a-ling.
You don't know.
You think that's the comet, Ma?
Well, it can't be a comet, Brian. I believe it's a meteorite.
Didn't the papers say that there are lots of meteorites before the comet crashes?
This here's the only one, Colleen.
Maybe there are more of them in places that we can't see.
Yeah, stupid. It's just one Colleen. It's like all it takes is one. Yeah.
And I'm going to make sure I say your name a lot so that we really drive home with viewers that you are Colleen.
Exactly. Because
this is the first time. I mean, because there's just like, imagine like just watching. Well, like you just watched it for the first time, but like you knew that a new Colleen was coming. You just didn't know when. But if you're just like watching this on TV for the first time, who's that?
I even rewound it. I was like, wait a minute. Who the hell is that?
Who's that redheaded chick in the wagon?
She is prettier. No, I can't. I'm not saying that. We want Erica Flores to come on the show one day.
Well, here's the thing. I think that it almost seems a little bit unfair because she gets like really she gets better clothes.
She does.
And,
I mean,
you know,
I don't.
She's just better dressed, you know, and stuff. And
her outfits are more technical. Like she gets into these like really really ornate outfits that the Colleen one did not.
Yeah, the way that she dresses and, like, sometimes the way her hair is done, it's almost like she's, like, a little Dr. Mike, you know? Like, they give her kind of, like...
Same hair color,
she's
too.
She's, like, pretty things. And I feel like the first Colleen got a little shortchanged on the wardrobe department.
Yep. I couldn't agree more. But even Wolf doesn't like this thing. He's, like, just looking at it like, I don't know. I don't like this. Take me home.
That's not kibble.
Carry me home. It's not kibble.
Does this mean the world's coming to an end, Ma?
No, Brian. The world is most certainly not coming to an end.
No.
I just, like, wish that every time she says that line in this episode, like, some crazy thing would happen. Because
like
she says
earthquake.
It a lot.
Yeah, the first earthquake.
Colleen, you say you found this in the woods?
I made a big hole and it was so hot it had smoke coming out of it.
Well, we all saw it.
Just like in the paper.
I'll bet it's a sign.
It's not a sign.
Then what is it?
It's a stone that has sped through the atmosphere fast enough to heat up into a small fireball. It's what we commonly refer to as a falling star.
What if bigger ones are on the way?
It's not a falling... What? All right.
Come on. I don't know.
Yeah. But, you know, so they're all afraid. It's like when Marty McFly goes back to 1955 and the kid comes out with the comic book and they're like, shoot it before it turns into a human form.
Yeah. Yeah.
you know, that's what they think. Bunch of hicks. You know, I mean, that's the essential. You know, it's what we kind of have to remember at all times.
Right. And I mean, just imagine, though. So this actually is all Dorothy's fault, because if she weren't there, they probably wouldn't even be getting that paper. And they wouldn't have even been reading it. They wouldn't even know.
You know, yeah, you're probably right. They would probably, Sully would have taken the stone to the Cheyenne. And it would have made medicine from it or something.
Well, no, then Cloud Dancing would have just gone to his little, Actually, this comes up. So it comes up later when Brian talks to him about the falling star. And then he's like...
Oh, that's right.
Says it's like souls reaching their destination. However, as we just have dealt with here, this is not, in fact, a falling star.
Yeah.
So... Would Sully bring it to Cloud Dancing and be like, here's a falling star? And then Cloud Dancing would be like, it's not a falling star. I would like that conversation.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's like, hey, dum-dum. So Hank and Lauren are scheming to make a little bit of money. Yeah, I call him Lauren. Like, my wife's middle name is Lauren. So I tend to say it like a girl's name, but it's Lauren. Lauren, right?
Lauren.
It's the same
Lauren.
Thing. It's like
Lauren.
It's like
Lauren. Lauren.
Word,
yeah.
It's like saying somebody's skin is pale or putting water in a pail. Like, to me, it's the same.
I think it's the same. Pale and pale.
Yeah. All right. It's like... iTunes like review. I don't know what the hell these two are talking about. Has something to do with Dr. Quinn and the pronunciation of things. 5 stars. Cheryl F. All right, so here we go. So they're scheming on something.
Got me an idea about what to do before that comet is.
Ah, it's all a bunch of malarkey.
Huh? Bill Malarkey never hurt business, none.
What are you talking about?
Folks get riled up because the world's ending. They're going to spend all that money they've been saving for the future because there ain't no future to save for no more.
Yeah?
We just got to help things along a little bit.
And how do we do that?
I tell you, I'm thinking about this a little scheme.
So he's got some ideas. This is fun, Hank. Yeah, it's fun, Hank, I think.
Yeah. I mean, because really, like, yeah, in the bigger picture, I mean, they don't really have, like, a mean intent behind it. And, you know, It's not really their fault if people decide they want to spend their money, right?
I swear, Hank.
I mean, that's what like business people do all the time. They like advertise a product and try to get you to buy it. And you don't really need it, right?
Do we ever find out? I mean, this could be a spoiler. Do we ever find out how much money Hank is worth?
We don't. No, we really have no real concept of his money or assets or anything.
I mean, his only expenses really are making sure that the saloon is stocked, making sure that his prostitutes are taken care of.
Whatever that means.
No, I mean fed and, you know, like stuff like food. I'm being as sensible as possible. Yeah, so they're scheming, but that's what I'm saying. You know, he's always making money. He's always going and trading stuff and getting bounties on people. And I don't know. He seems like he probably has a decent nest egg somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, I have like a small clue into his financial well-being, I also don't really want to give you like a spoiler.
Okay. Well, the scarves
but we never really
are
find
cheap.
Out how much money he has. So to answer that question, No, we don't really know how much money he has.
All right. I'll get an inkling in the future, I guess.
Yeah.
So Dorothy, in your notes, it just simply says Dorothy is the worst quote unquote journalist. So let's.
Yeah.
You're not going to print that, are you? Oh, of course I am. This town's never seen a real meteorite before.
But the way you're writing it, people are going to believe that the meteorite has something to do with that crazy story about the end of the world.
The meteorite? Her English accent is coming out like there's no tomorrow these days. Do you get that?
Sometimes. It kind of depends. I don't know.
Yo, sometimes, meteorite. Like, it's like, are you a Adele?
Yeah, sometimes.
She sounds like Adele all of a sudden. Yo, meteorite. Or Wallace and Gromit. All right.
Is this whole episode like the pronunciation show?
Yeah, maybe I have to get past it. Past it. So
Past.
You know, one episode we both have to do fake English accents the whole time. Wouldn't that be a hoot? I don't know.
Yeah.
All right.
Fair. Moving on.
Michaela, people already believe it.
Well, they shouldn't, Michaela. I don't report on what people should believe. I report on what people do believe. But can't you wait for a few days and then write about the meteorite? Once people realize this story in the Post is only a hoax, it'll be old news by then. Your meteorite is a story today. Well, it doesn't seem like much of a story to me. Nothing's happened red. Except that... The water has turned red.
It's as red as Michaela's hair. But yeah, the water's turned red.
What happened?
The water's red.
She's right, it's red.
Doesn't look red to me.
We don't really see the water. We don't really know what...
What do you put in water to make it red? I mean, these days we can go to the supermarket and get red food dye, right? Number five.
Right. Yeah.
Back then, what do you do?
I don't know, because I was wondering that too. I was like, I mean, dyes obviously existed. They like dyed fabrics and stuff. But for like these people in this town to like have access to that, I'd be pretty surprised.
Yeah. Definitely interesting, though. So, yeah, they're all freaking out because I think anybody would freak out. You know, water's not really something to play with in this town, right? I mean, it was mercury poison just a few days ago.
Well, right. I mean, they've had issues. Like, it's been poisoned. They've had droughts where it's, like, not available. Yeah, water is serious business.
It's one that they lose sleep over. So, you know what? You know what would make a good prank? Let's poison the water.
Let's make the water red.
That'll make people just drink alcohol.
They should have just done that for Christmas instead.
Yeah.
Red water.
It'd be nice, actually.
Yeah, it would be very festive.
Hank starts announcing... Hank's just getting involved. He's taking advantage of the moment.
I need a drink.
My own special blend here, folks. Flaming Fireball whiskey. Now, only 2 days left. Wake up while you still can.
Hey! He just one of his, like, girls comes up, and he's just kissing her, and I don't know, the whole thing. He's having a party. Lipping it up. But yeah, the flaming fireball sounds terrible.
Well, have you ever had Fireball?
I've had a number of different things. Is it a cinnamon one?
Yeah, it's kind of cinnamony. Yeah, so, I mean, it's just called a Fireball, I guess. Does it have a full name? People just say Fireball. Anyway, it's like a thing that is around here kind of big, you know? Like,
is
you could probably get it anywhere.
Fire and then
people would
it
have
in the
it
beer?
At, like, parties and stuff.
It's not the thing where you light it on fire and drop it in the beer?
No. Yeah. It's just like a, like, I guess like a cinnamon type whiskey, like kind of like the, like, spicy hot.
Yeah, I've had stuff like that before. I'm not really a hard liquor type of person.
I'm not either. I mean, I like beer and wine. Yeah. Hard liquor, not so much. I've just never really liked the taste of it.
You know what's really good is morphine. That's delicious.
Yeah, and I've heard that the stash that Dr. Mike keeps is the good stuff that you inject.
Well, when she gives it to you, she gives you this look of like, you're going to like this.
And then she kind of like, you know, rubs the spot in a little bit just to make it all better.
She blinks her brown eye. And have you noticed it yet from the rewatches that her eyes are two different colors?
I keep forgetting to look. Okay. I'm awful.
It'll click one of these days. You'll see what I'm talking about. Jake is coming. I'm going to play some of this. Jake is coming up to buy a case of whiskey.
Hey, how are you going to spend your last 2 days?
Which, by the way, Robert E. is drinking, which is surprising.
Maybe he's having a sarsaparilla. Or as I like to call an aspirilla.
Sarsaparilla. If you're Matthew, it's a sarsaparilla.
Sass, like three A's. Yeah.
Some of them expensive cigars you got in your store there.
Why, that seems like good thinking to me. How about you, Robert E.? What you gonna buy? Don't know.
You gotta want.
Robert E.'s smoking, he's drinking, being. Living life.
He's having a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's up? How about you, knothead?
None of your business.
My favorite line in this entire episode is coming up.
How about another
mine too.
Aspirilla.
How about you shut up?
That's great.
You know, I mean, to all the people who might leave us a 1-star review, it's like, that's really going to be for them. I'm just going to play it one more time.
You got to want something. How about you, knothead?
None of your business.
How about another sarsaparilla?
How about you shut up?
I love it so much. We have to clip that. Why don't you shut up? And you know what? Good for him. I mean, it's about time he stands up a little bit to Hank.
Mm-hmm. And they have in this episode a lot of sort of interesting scenarios like that where they're like butting heads. And it occurred to me earlier that, so Myra, of course, is pregnant, which just 2 episodes ago, she became pregnant and suddenly she's like ready to burst. She's very pregnant
in
this episode.
She gives birth in the next episode. I think it's a C-section performed in the next episode.
So do you think, because as we kind of conveniently, the Lunar Paloozas, in addition to the lunar theme, have both really lended themselves well to looking at the whole like Myra Hank Horace dynamic.
Yeah.
Because they have a number of really interesting interactions in this episode. And do you think that maybe the animosity is heightened a bit? Because so Hank, who is obviously like in love with Myra, like, you know, we know that he's been in love with her. And, you know, she left him, then she marries Horace, and now like they're having a baby. Do you think that maybe this is like an additional tension factor?
Of course.
That makes Hank like especially want to like target Horace maybe even a little bit more than normal.
All right. Hank is definitely really messing with him, but he's not doing anything that's really too horrible. He's just bullying him a little, I guess. And
right, like it's not.
He's calling him knothead. He's calling him names.
And, yeah,
but he's not like I'm gonna beat the crap out of you. And in a little while, we see he just laughs him off. He's just like Hank is the most mature of the three in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. He is just kind of moving on. He's not happy with it, Because here he is. He responds to Hank. I mean, I'm to Horace's put down.
Better hope the world's ending, Horace.
Look like you want to blow off a little steam before you go, Horace.
Drink up, boys.
And Horace takes the full thing of sarsaparilla and downs it.
So am I actually a little point here? Am I the only one who's like a little bit surprised that they let Robert E. into the saloon?
Well, it's the end of the world, maybe. You know, money is money.
So they just,
they've really softened to the African Americans at this point, I think. Don't you think? I mean, does it get bad again?
There are future episodes where there are like racial issues. I mean, the thing is that they accept Robert E. and Grace.
Sure.
But there's like a whole other community that live in Shantytown that are like total outsiders.
Do you think this is, you know, this is kind of fan fiction-y, but, and what isn't, but do you think, who do you think would make a better couple on, you know, hypothetically, Hank or Myra or Horace and Myra?
Mm.
If you had to choose, if you're the writer.
Yeah.
Do you, who would you,
I mean, in a way, I could actually see Hank and Myra being a better couple. However, completely unrealistic because, like, Hank is not ever going to regard women the way that he does.
But that would make the show that much more dynamic, yeah. I think.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I do like what they were doing with Horace and Myra. And, you know, I liked that, you know, she got to start over. I'm using that phrase they always use. Yeah. And I like that Horace was willing to, like, fall in love with her, despite the fact that she was one of the saloon girls. I liked what they were doing with that, and it was, like, a really non-traditional kind of approach to the relationship, especially for this time and place, which I thought was cool. But it just kind of, you know, the character changes and just sort of how they are together sometimes. Might be a little controversial. I know a lot of people really like them together. I see in the fan groups and stuff on Facebook a lot. And it's not that I objectively don't like them together. It's just that sometimes the things that they do when they're together, the way that the characters develop, you know.
Yeah. I mean, we accept, you know, that's what the writers chose to happen. It's just, I don't know. I kind of have this kind of in my mind, this relationship between Hank and Myra being kind of a more colorful and more animated direction to go with the show.
Mm-hmm. They could run the business together.
Yeah. Rename the
Myra
place.
Myra could be the madam.
Call it Minx or some Manx. Anyway. <all right>. Sizzler. So, yeah. All right. So Jake comes in and he buys some whiskey. The mayor. Is he mayor in this? Yeah, he's mayor at this point, right?
Yeah, he is.
Mm-hmm. And he's bummed out. I think he's bought it. He's really believing this is genuinely the end of the world. A lot of people do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Give me a case of whiskey.
Hey, you can't drink all that in 2 days.
Drink it whenever I want.
$10, you can drink it right now for all I care.
I ain't paying $10 more.
And then you ain't getting a case.
I'm offering you a fair price, Hank. I expect you to take it.
The world's ending, Jake. Ain't nothing fair anymore.
Come on, I'll take it, Hank. Right here.
And he throws down the money. And let's say he just takes this huge case of whiskey, and he's prepping. He's building
a
bomb shelter.
Hank is wonderfully dressed, as always.
Yeah,
with his red shirt and his red vest and his little scarf.
If you've ever seen the band Faster Pussycat from the 80s and 90s, if you look at the singer Tame Me Down, dressed pretty much exactly the way that Hank is dressed with the scarves and stuff. I think you might enjoy.
Very cool.
I think you might enjoy the look.
Yeah, I do enjoy the look. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, well, I suggest you do. And Tame Me Down if you're listening. No, I don't. All right. So what's next? Jake is building a shelter. He's going to dig. Mm-hmm. He chose an area to start just digging a shelter out of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't seem like such a great plan to me. What about you? I mean,
No, because when I watch him dig this, I'm like, what good is that going to do? And then in the next scene, Sully is pretty much like, what good is that going to do? And I'm like, yes, Sully. That's what I thought too.
That's what I said.
Exactly.
Yeah, so for the most part, Jake is, he thinks if he digs a hole deep enough and hides in there. At first, I thought it was a cave. I guess I looked away for a little while, and I didn't notice he was digging. So let's see. Dr. Mike decides that she knows somebody from an Ivy League university that she's going to wire. And she's like, I'll get to the bottom of things. I'm going to be the hero here. It's my opportunity to get the respect of this town.
She has the connections that she always has someone to send a wire to.
Now, she sends this wire, and it gets sent, which is great. But then the wiring, the telegraph wiring, explodes.
Mm-hmm. Now, so that's kind of the first of, like, the weird series of events where the timing is just a little crazy.
But we know, I mean, at first I'm thinking, okay, I'm expecting them to pull back and it's like Hank, you know, with a wire cutter or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it legitimately blew up. We also don't see them repair it, but later on it works.
I know, I thought that too, because later on they were like, oh, he's probably just manning the post, but I'm like, but isn't the thing broken? But then lo and behold, he does in fact have a telegram that he got, so
yeah.
I don't know how to explain that.
Lauren actually reached out to us, and he was like, hey, look, what we need to do is coordinate Lunapalooza with comic clearance, and we need to have a real combination of promotions.
Yeah, so, which I must say, the sign that he puts up that says comic clearance is a pretty nice sign. Yeah. I mean, the font and everything is very, very clearly printed on there.
Yeah, I mean, that's hand done.
You got it. He got it put together, and he did it well. He must have just, like, little stencils that he uses or something to
And that R has a nice little curly Q, you know?
Uh-huh, yeah. Very nice.
Very nice. Very nice. So, let's see. So, Grace, everybody starts buying things that they wanted to buy, which is exactly what they wanted to have happen. For whatever reason, Grace decides that she needs French china. Crazy, right? I mean, she has such a wad of money. Did you look at that? How much money she must have had?
It's freaking thick. Yeah, I don't know how much it is, but yikes.
Well, I noticed
that... what denomination are those bills?
I noticed that Abraham Lincoln is on them. Or at least on the ones on top. And I'm pretty sure that Abraham Lincoln was on several denominations. So it could be singles or it could be tens.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not 100% sure. I don't know if it really matters, but I don't know. I don't know how much fine china was back then. I couldn't find it in my catalogs.
I mean, I'm a little bit surprised that Lauren just, like, has it ready in the store. I mean, it seems like maybe something they would have to special order, like, you know, Rondelay the window. They had to special order it.
By the way,
I kind of expect that maybe the French china, like, you could order through a catalog, you know, through Lauren, but I'm kind of surprised he just has it at the store.
By the way, I'm finally getting a glimpse of what the house looks like that Sully built, and that does not look like the drawing. Did it look
it's
like
a nice
the drawing?
House, though.
Well, I didn't really get a real view of it, but doesn't look like the drawing to me.
Well, he had to redraw it because she destroyed it when she flipped the table.
Oh, yeah. It's true.
Remember at the end of the episode, she just walks up and flips the table?
Yeah, I forgot. Probably the cheap canteen that Matt bought probably spilled all over it. Jeez, the canteen's destroying everything. So, Grace...
That's what you get when you buy goods for your family with gambled money.
Grace is buying fine French china, and Michaela's like, no. Please don't do something that'll make you happy. Please don't do that. You know, it's just weird. But so she said that.
She's like a little too involved with everybody's lives. I mean, like, okay, so I get that she's frustrated because she's like, this is clearly a fake story and you're taking it seriously. But at the same time, what is it to you how these people spend their money?
Right. It's not like Grace is buying like some morphine and a hypodermic needle. It's, you know, china.
Yeah, I mean, granted, she could have put the money into Dogecoin, but she didn't, so...
Well, not everyone can have dreams like us.
Some people want China.
To the moon! I'm sorry. Yeah, so I mean, it's just kind of interesting that she really is so involved. And I have to remember, I made a connection to her earlier, and I have to make the connection again. And I should write these things down. But earlier, I thought, oh, I have to ask Kelly what she thinks of this, and just kind of came and went. But hopefully, I'll retain it.
I'll come back. Hopefully,
Grace closes Grace's restaurant, and she opens a new one, Shea Grace. Very fancy.
It is very fancy. And Dr. Mike, like, literally, like, face palms when she says she's opening Shea Grace. Like, you see Dr. Mike in the background, like, actually putting her, like, face in her hand.
Like, she almost wants to say, like, I've been to real French restaurants, Grace. This is not one
like
of
this
them.
This doesn't hold a candle to it.
I'm from Boston. It's doctor.
I went to medical school.
oh, really? I didn't know that you can go to men's medical school. It was an all-girls one. So the kids are skipping school. They have fireworks from, I don't know where they got fireworks, which I thought was kind of interesting.
I mean, I think the kid got them, like, from his father.
Well,
didn't he say, well, because, like, he said his father wanted to take him to go see fireworks. But I guess I maybe assumed his father had them. But that's still kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, are the fireworks supply lines really that strong? I don't know.
The kid is reading, he's eating red licorice rope. Like, I guess, like a red vine. But they wouldn't be invented well into the 20th century. I found out a lot. I read a lot about licorice, a little too much. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to go too far into this. But for the most part, licorice has a chemical in it or a component to it that is 20 to 50 times sweeter than sugar.
Really?
And yeah, it's very interesting.
So that's why it's so addicting.
But it's also too much of it can raise your blood pressure. I'm trying to remember which film it is. I think The Gold Rush with Charlie Chaplin. There's a famous scene where he's so hungry, he's eating a shoe. And that was made by a company fully out of licorice. And he did the take so many times that, you know, because licorice is a diuretic, he basically spent the next, like, week at home, you know, going to the bathroom. Well, rather, it has a laxative effect. And you know, it's just a weird type of thing, you know. But red licorice didn't exist in 1868, bottom line.
Right. So, like, he should have been eating black licorice. Well, actually, it's weird that it was red because, you know, Brian's always getting candy from the Mercantile, and I feel like he gets, like, licorice that's black at least some point, right? And I do know that in Little House, to do, like, a Little House crossover, they have licorice on that show that you know, the Olsons sell in the Mercantile, and it is always black licorice. Yeah. So,
I hate they're black doing licorice. That
correctly. I love black licorice.
Do you
it's really good.
All right. Well.
Yeah, I like black. I actually like black licorice better than red, but I do like red licorice too.
I'm not a fan of licorice.
If it's the good red licorice. There are like some really bad licorice brands out there that are just like not that good, but
don't ask me why, but we bought like the fun pack of Twizzlers the other day, like a big stupid pack. And I found out red licorice is poisonous to dogs, just so you know.
Oh, okay. I guess I know.
It's just flat out poisonous. Yeah. I was like, what? But black licorice is okay.
That is so weird. So, like, whatever they add to make it red is poisonous. But that is good to know. But I do always look up if he can have something before I give it to him to eat. Because he always wants to eat, like, anything, like, whatever I'm having.
It's like, that's an onion.
But this one time a couple years ago, my father-in-law, like, was, like, feeding him grapes. And then I was like, oh, we should look up if you can have grapes. And, like, grapes are really bad for dogs.
Yeah.
Like, can be super toxic. And I'm like, no more grapes. But anyway.
My dogs love chocolate chip cookies, though. I just give that to them all the time. I'm just kidding.
You give them chocolate?
No, of course. I'm just kidding. They love it.
I was gonna say, wow.
And all right, stupid fun fact, and I swear this will be a 10-second Reader's Digest thing. Dogs like chocolate because there's sugar in it. They like sugar. Cats, it's also poisonous to cats, but cats cannot taste sweetness from what I understand. And that's why they won't eat chocolate. And that's it.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. So from what I understand, I don't know if that's a wives' tale. It's kind of like, don't wash your cast iron soap type of nonsense. It could be total false.
I will ask my cats when we're done recording.
We have to have to start dedicating episodes to your animals and mine. Because all together, you have five total, right? I know you have only one dog now.
One dog and four cats.
You had one imaginary dog.
Well, I do kind of want to get another puppy, but I don't know. I already have a lot of pets, and puppies are a lot of work, so.
Yeah, but, I encourage it. But, yeah, anyway, I have two dogs, and you have five animals total, so we should start dedicating them.
We should. But we can have little recordings of them talking. We can put in. They can call the hotline.
People are like, I don't know what the hell they're talking about. All right, so here we are. We are, they're cutting school. They're eating licorice rope that doesn't exist. And for the most part, they're just kind of waiting for the world to end. Like, they're getting, they're having fun right now with it all. But here, Jake is buying supplies for his comet shelter. It's like an outdoor flea market, really. That's what this whole kind of...
Yeah, like it's like set up in the streets, and I mean, people are just coming by to buy stuff while Dr. Mike oversees their decisions and tells them why it's a bad idea.
They should have this all the time. They should have outdoor, like, kind of fairs. That's the whole atmosphere.
I'm almost surprised they don't because, I mean, they're eating outside all the time at Grace's. Why not just shop outside?
Well, they were doing some shopping from the Jewish vendor, but then they got all mad about that and they got all hot biscuit.
I kind of wish we could have seen the Jewish family more.
Yeah, I would have liked to see them stick around, but, you don't want them sticking around for too long.
You said it, not me.
Well, I'm just reading your notes. I'm just kidding.
No, I did not say that.
I'm just kidding around.
Listeners, he's lying.
I am lying.
What's all that for?
Our comet shelter.
Comet shelter?
That's awesome.
I love that laugh. That's awesome.
The comet shelter, Jake.
Oh, nobody cares about what Jake's doing.
I do. I'm recording the last days of Colorado Springs and burying the story in a metal box so someone will know what went on before the comet hit. So what's a comet shelter, Jake?
No, I love this. It's so sleazy, but it's so Jake. Because Jake's thinking like, all I need is a woman now. I got my case of whiskey, got my supplies and shovel.
I mean, the whole thing with him and Dorothy, I've always thought is really weird.
I like him, though. Like, he's really grown on me ever since he took off the KKK robes.
Yeah. I like him, too. And he's one of those characters that he has, like, some pretty good, like, character development throughout the series. Mm-hmm. And, right up to, like, basically the end of the series where, like, finding new stuff out about him. There's like some character growth. He makes like some major changes in his life.
Learning to read and stuff like that. Him learning to read, I thought it was sweet. There were nice scenes with all of that.
Yeah. I just am like a little confused about why he's like after Dorothy. I just don't really see it with those two. I don't really get it.
Who else is there? Who else falls into this category, really?
Yeah.
I mean, she's probably the most eligible female. Not really. I don't know. I wouldn't even say she's eligible, but she's probably the most normal person in town that's single.
Pathetic.
What a sad state of affairs.
I'll show you. I'm going there right now. I got just enough room for you.
I'm only reporting on it, Jake.
Michaela looks down and is like, that was the worst line I ever heard in my whole life.
Yeah.
Gotta hand it to the guy, though.
He's kind of being all, like, trying to be all, like, flirty, but it's, I don't know.
And Dorothy comes back.
Well, the thing
back.
Is, and she's just like, no.
Yeah, here's her response.
I'm not going to be in it when the comet hits.
That's going to be $20.
You're worse than Hank.
Why didn't you give it to Jake for free, Lauren?
Because it costs $20, that's why.
Well, if the world's coming to an end, what do you need money for?
I just want to see how much I can make before I go out of business. Forever.
Come on, Doyle.
Now, Parks and Recreation had a similar storyline, right? Do you remember this? Where they were selling flute at a very high price.
Oh, right.
And it's supposed to be the end of the world. Everybody in town was preparing for the end of the world. And I forget his name, the machoistic guy. He is selling these handmade flutes for an astronomical amount of money. And people are like, can I write a check? And they're like laughing about it because they're like, world's going to end.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of
funny. Yeah, that's funny. I didn't actually thought of that when I was watching this.
So Shea Grace is open. I don't know if the menu is also French now. I'm not sure about that.
Well, she kind of already knows how to make some Frenchy stuff. Like,
oh, yeah. Cause it's
she's from
Cajun.
New Orleans, yeah. So, you know.
I remember that. And we have Robert E. in the background. Robert E. kind of snapped a little bit earlier and thought, you know what? I haven't taken a break ever, so I'm going to buy myself a hammock, and I'm going to take a nap. I don't know why you can't just go home and take a nap, but you know what? There's nothing wrong with having a hammock either.
I mean, the hammocks are very nice. I'm not sure if where he has it, like, basically between the livery and the cafe is, like, the most relaxing spot.
Right. It's like he's going to, like, you know, swing or something like that. He's going to bash his head into, like, a muffin pan or something. It just doesn't...
Right. There's, like, probably a horse standing right there. The horse is going to, like, toot or something and pull him away.
But here they are at Shea Grace. And that's, you know, it's not a bad sign either.
Yeah, I know. Like, these people are really good at very quickly producing hand-painted signs that are very good. It's way better than I could do.
You know, it's one of these things where you kind of wonder if they have one of those Cricut things. Sign maker. But they don't.
You planning on eating sometime, Robert E.?
I ain't planning on doing nothing except laying right here.
So he's just kind of laying there. I have this whole issue, though, with using the fine china that's so expensive. It's, you know, what if Horace drops the dish or something?
Well, the world's ending. That doesn't matter.
Yes, it's just, I don't know. There's just something about the dishes. I wish it was something else. It would have, I don't know what, but it would just make me feel better if it was something else. The dishes just make very little sense to me.
So you think that she shouldn't have bought the dishes?
No. It should have been something else. I don't know what, though. A new wagon. Okay. A horse.
A new wagon?
Maybe.
That's like a Robert E. purchase right there.
You're right. It's I don't know what a woman's going to buy. That's a sexist comment. But it's... buy a robe.
Fancy hat or something.
Fancy hat. Yeah, maybe. Meanwhile... at table six, we have Matt and I can't remember her name, the Swedish girl, Hulk.
Ingrid.
And he's just trying really hard to, I mean, they're not even at the point where he's putting his arm around her, you know? And he's ready to bring this all the way home.
Nah, Ingrid.
It's not right, Matthew.
I don't want to die before...
Maybe we'll not go to heaven then.
We're engaged.
But we're not married yet.
What if we get married?
How?
We'll go see the Reverend. I bet he'll understand.
That's a little creepy here. What do you think? I mean... He's like rubbing her hand, like, all right, like reeling her in on this one.
Yeah.
It's just very obvious, I guess. But yeah. To get married, it's, you don't have to do that. Just keep working at it, buddy.
Well,
you're almost there. That's terrible. Dear Mark,
I think that, like, the whole thing. So the thing that the way that they are, I mean, like, he's being a little creepy about it, and it's like, let's run and, you know, go get married because the world is ending and I want to get married to you before that ends. That'd be sweet, right?
Yeah.
Or sweeter than what it is. But as it is, he's just all like, I just want to get laid.
Right. His end game is to
yeah.
have this happen, essentially. And he's almost there, I would say. Not that I know anything about these things, but Sully's shirt looks like he just got it right out of the lake or something. It's super clean. And
he just washed it. Like, he just went for a swim.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of wondering, you know, he has all these suits and everything. They're all so starched. I think we talked about this maybe in the last episode. Still have no idea where he would keep all of this stuff. I wish they had a little bit of an answer.
Yeah, and I kind of want to know, why does he really have them in the first place? Because, I mean, did he just buy one the first time we see him in a suit, Dr. Mike's birthday? Did he buy a suit just for that occasion? Because I can't imagine he really had, like, suit-wearing occasions before she rolled into town.
I also don't think he has any money. Like, post-marriage,
before Dr. Mike, I can't imagine he's just putting on the suit a lot.
But he also has no money. I mean, how would he go buy that?
Well, I mean, it's just like we talked about we did money. I mean, he, mystery. Does, I guess, odd jobs to get money, but why would he be, like, spending that on suits? Just seems kind of weird.
Yeah, I know. It's the mystery of Sully, I guess. You know what? As long as we get to see him in the suit, we'll be happy. But here he is. He shows up, and I love this version of Sully. There's something about him. I was saying it's almost like he just came out of a massage or something. He's just relaxed, and he's like, hey, let's just go to a Fish concert.
Like, he and Wolf are all rested up from their afternoon nap.
Michaela's like smelling. It's like, you smell like weed. You see Hank in the back, you know, like putting money in his pocket. You know.
Just a bench.
Thank you.
I thought maybe we'd do something special this afternoon.
Because we only have one more day before the great comet strikes?
Because you're the woman I love. And I'd like to spend the afternoon with you.
You actually believe it's true, don't you?
I ain't saying it's true.
She's not letting it go either. He's like, you know, hey, I just want to spend time with you.
Yeah, like, if it's not that big of a deal, Michaela, then why are you making it a big deal?
Like, I get it. You don't want to be alone with me. Like, I get it.
It's too tempting.
Yeah, it's really kind of the thing. She's seeing what's going on with Ingrid and Matt. It scares the hell out of her.
Then what are you saying?
I'm saying, what if it were true? Makes you think, don't it?
No, it doesn't.
Well, it should. Because even if it's not true now, someday we're all going to leave this life. When that time comes, what are you going to say? I sure wish I would have read more medical books. Or I wish I would have spent time with the folks I loved.
Now, knowing Michaela, actually would say, I wish I'd spent more time reading medical books.
Yeah, I would need to have the knowledge. I must have the answer.
What would you want to do today?
So she goes, do you want to talk about what she decides to do? It's kind of interesting.
Well, she wants to fly a kite because her father it was just like a silly waste of time. And she was always jealous when she would see people flying them when she was a child.
I just saw your note, they go to by fly the way. The spooning of Wolf. Sorry, I just saw it for the first time. Go on.
So they go and they go to this kind of far off meadow, I guess, because she didn't want anyone to see her doing it because she's all worried that they would think that she thinks the world is ending. And she's just like giggling like a schoolgirl while she flies this kite.
And she looked like she legitimately had fun doing it. Jane Seymour had fun doing this.
Yeah, the scene actually reminded me of the episode of Little House when it's like one of the, is it the first episode maybe after like the pilot movie? The one where he like breaks his ribs and the whole town like helps him stack the grain when he goes on that picnic with his family. And then like Pa's just flying the kite and like his kids are all just watching. Like, don't let the kids fly the kite, Pa. just you fly the kite.
You have to be an expert to fly a kite.
But it's kind of like, it reminded me of it, because it's like, here we have like an adult just like having like this grand old time flying a kite, you know?
I mean, I haven't flown a kite in a pretty long time, but I don't know if I really miss it either. I had my time.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when I was a kid, maybe like a couple of times there was a kite involved, but
Did you have like a My Little Pony flight kite? A Smurf kite? A Sully kite? There's really, something. We should create Sully kites.
I just like never really felt the urge to fly a kite a lot, you know? Yeah.
Would you fly a Sully kite is the question. With Wolf in
so
the
when
background.
You say Sully kite, I mean, what are you saying? Is it a kite with a picture of Sully? Is it a kite that...
It would have Sully's profile, and it would have Wolf's profile, and they'd be looking at each other.
Okay.
With the moon in the background.
In honor of Lunar
with
Palooza,
with a Dogecoin
maybe.
Going to the moon.
Okay, I'm sold. Yeah, I'll do it.
And you know what? As it goes up, you just go to the moon.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that what you do is you just cut the string and just like float straight up to the moon.
Yeah. I think we have to make a Sully kite. I'll go to Alibaba.com, get a Chinese retailer, get some silk screens.
Hey, it could be a giveaway that we do for the best Hank.
Oh, man, a Hank kite. Hank. You can't whisper kite either. Hank kite. Oh, my God. All right. So they're painting up this poor horse blue. Lauren and Hank. It's just, I mean, it's a nice blue. It's like Tiffany blue. And
it's kind of like a sky blue.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
And I'm sure this is a water-based paint. They just hose off the horse. But it just seems mean. Whenever I see animals that are painted or people who dye their dogs, the colors and stuff, I don't like it. It doesn't resonate with me. So it's kind of just funny to watch because it is a beautiful white horse, by the way. And Michaela sees some shenanigans. And she goes in there and, as they said before, he's going to break up the malarkey.
Having fun?
They're busted just like with Matt and... Ingrid.
Everybody's plans are going awry.
Michaela, getting all riled up. She knew we'd be back here.
Everyone, look. Look. What? Here's another sign that the world is ending. Hank and Lauren were painting a horse.
So she's all mad and yelling about it, and everyone's like, shut up. They're not, but it's kind of like nobody seems to really care too much, but maybe they're starting to listen. And her anger triggers the earth, really. And we get like the, in the 1950s, if you watch like anything where there's an earthquake, they just shake the camera.
Yeah.
Or if you're a kid and, you know, you're filming, you just shake the camera for the earthquake effect. It's pretty much what they did.
Lou!
Just having a little fun, that's all.
And I suppose you put something in the well to make the water red? Did you?
Well, I thought that was funny myself.
Yeah, real funny, you two.
And that rumbling is an earthquake and a geyser shoots up. That would scare me.
Yeah, totally. And it's like so close to town too. It's crazy. It's like on the edge of town.
I like Hank's little comment. Let's see if I can find it.
You're gonna blame that one on us, Michaela.
It was like looking dumbfounded. Even Michaela's like, you know, she doesn't know what to say.
Yeah, so that's like with the telegraph thing, and now this episode does have a lot of like really crazy timing with stuff, and there's like thunder and, you know, storms that happen at these like key times, and it's like the timing is pretty crazy.
Yeah, and it's supposed to lead us to believe maybe the earth is like about to end for them. Let's see, everybody's starting to like panic at the church, and Ingrid and Matthew are seeking marriage, which I think is kind of a funny little conversation.
Please, let's not panic. Please, just move along.
Reverend, want to talk to you?
Perhaps later.
Not later.
We want to marry now.
You want to get...
What is she saying? Okay, I picture him saying that.
Get married?
Wherever we need to speak.
I cannot marry you now.
Marry? Don't be ridiculous. You can't get married now.
Why not? I simply don't have the time for it.
Exactly. There's no time.
And as you can see, the church is full right now.
Precisely. There's no room in the church.
You may not have any time or any room, but we're still doing it.
Be reasonable, Matthew.
We have not time to be reasonable, Dr. Mike.
Well, how are you going to get married without the Reverend?
I don't know what that means, like, no matter what, we're going to get married. And then I was thinking maybe the Cheyenne will marry them.
Oh.
And I really thought that was going to happen. But spoiler alert, it didn't. Things are just kind of going crazy.
The next clip I have here at 24 minutes, I think that scene with Cloud dancing as Brian, and Brian is kind of cute.
Yeah, I think that's a cute one.
Stay and do grown-up things with her.
You will be a man soon enough.
I'm never going to be a man. The world's ending tomorrow.
Who told you this?
It was in the newspaper. A famous scientist said a comet's going to hit us.
Do you trust this man?
Well, he knew about all the signs. I even found where the falling stars he said was coming.
The scientist tells you that falling stars are a sign the world is ending.
What else could they mean?
We believe they are souls that make the journey to their final destination. Hope.
So he's probably wondering why Sully didn't tell him that.
So what I want to know is, where is Cloud dancing on Facebook? Because I feel like he'd be a very valuable asset to when everyone's just like sharing things that are blatantly not true.
Yeah.
To be like, do you trust this man?
Fact check,
why do
false.
You believe this?
Fact check, false.
Fact checking.
This is Cheyenne fact check.
Dun, yeah. Dun. Cheyenne fact checked. Check. It's Cheyenne checking.
Yeah, it's true. Aho. I guess aho is hi and goodbye. Kind of like aloha.
I think it's hello and goodbye because I've heard him use it in both ways.
Hmm. So it's a lot like aloha. So.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Very fancy. I like it. He's one of my favorite characters now. I didn't like him at first. I thought he was kind of hokey, but he really grew on me pretty quickly.
Yeah. I think he is a really interesting character, and I think he's, like, really funny. Like, he's very humorous, and he definitely has some lines that are supposed to be humorous, and he pulls them off like a champ. But he also has, like, some really serious scenes that he acts very well in scenes like that. Mm-hmm. You know, like, the more dramatic stuff he's really good at. I think, like, all around, he's just a really good actor.
Now, Robert Lee has the face, and this is where I'm going to make a little bit of a COVID-19 joke, so I don't know if it's too soon.
They call him Robert Lee?
No, I meant Robert E. Maybe Robert Lee. Robert E.
So Robert E. Lee rolled into town.
No, but Robert E. So this is I had COVID a few months ago, so I guess I'm allowed to say these kind of jokes. And when you first find out you have COVID, you're like, I'm going to be totally fine. But then at 4 a.m, you wake up and you have the same exact look on your face that he has at 24:53. If you could just go to that. Because then you start getting those thoughts in your head of like, this is just a little different.
Aww.
And that's how I felt. Yeah. It's like, it's real quiet at night and, you know. Anyway, just reminded me of that. But this is where the fear of God is kind of entering Robert E.'s life. Exactly how it happened with me. Get up, go to the bathroom, next thing you know. Check your temperature. I feel my head. I feel like I'm going bald.
Thought you were going to take it easy.
And then he started doing dishes, right?
The rest of your life.
You know, I didn't. I just realized he's doing dishes. I thought he was serving himself food of some sort. But,
no, so he starts washing the dishes.
I can't just slay that, Grace. World's ending, and we're not going to be here after tomorrow.
He's shaking the dish.
In heaven, Robert E.
I'm not talking about.
He's shaking a dish. as he's emphasizing what he's saying. And she's like, give me the dish, stupid.
You know, I think somebody else in the town, we talk a lot about Michaela's outfits and her hair and stuff, but mm-hmm. I have to say that Grace has got it going on too. She has really nice outfits, and her hair, like, she changes the hairstyle kind of regularly.
Grace is great.
It always
style.
Looks like really yeah. good.
I really like her style. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I mean, maybe that's one of the things, because I think you, as well as I do, we look at Grace as one of the youngerish people on the show. And when she got attacked in that episode, it just, I don't know. It was just not, it just, I mean, for so many reasons, it wasn't fair. But she just is so sweet, you know, and it's just, that's why it affected me so much.
Yeah, that episode's very tough to watch.
Yeah, and even now I'm just like, I'll never be mad at Grace just because of that scene.
Yeah, and she's like so sassy too, and I love it.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm also glad that the character came back from that. It didn't like totally change the character permanently, even though in real life, of course, it would. Of course.
God, heaven, I'm
talking
about dying when that comet hits, and what's that going to be like?
You can't think about that. It's in God's hands now.
I think I even heard that music when I was like, I gotta get back to sleep. When I had COVID, all I did, I worked on my 3D printer and I watched Greatest American Hero and Little House on the Prairie. That was all I really kind of did.
Yeah. Well, because it was before you started watching Dr. Quinn, of course. So
yeah, you know,
if you had been into Dr. Quinn, you would have watched more of that.
I would have healed even quicker, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I really would have, because all three of us were homesick for 2 weeks. We were about to all kill each other. Well, you know, it's, you know, it gets to you. But yeah, so he's getting kind of nervous, I guess. You know, maybe everybody is getting a little bit nervous about what may or may not be happening. Matthew is still barking up this tree. He's like, not just gonna let it go. And he's in a tent with, I guess this is the immigrant camp.
Yeah, I think it's just where they live.
Yeah, and they have a candle set up and some flowers. And I wasn't sure where this was going, this little scene.
Maybe this comet will not come.
All these signs. I don't see how it's going to miss us.
Will you stay with me till the end?
Of course I will.
As long as, you know. You know.
Yeah. And then, like, her siblings come in and ruin the moment.
Yeah, I mean, they're
really... She seems like she's about to give in, and you're like, oh, maybe they're going to do it, but then...
But not really, because they're in an open tent. It's...
Right, I mean, yeah.
And it's daytime.
A little problematic there, sure.
And she's got the braid thing going. You know, the hair and everything has been upgraded for the season. Everybody has, like, the really nice braids. And I do like Ingrid. I do like the character, even though I go on her weird Tarzan accent.
And I will say that Matthew's jacket is kind of nice, too.
I don't like his hair, but I do like his jacket. It's like that corduroy.
It's like a really, like, thick corduroy kind of,
It's like, you know what that sounds like when he's walking. You know, it's like Hank.
Feels like we are married right now.
Sure does feel like we're married right now.
Like, and then the kids come in.
It's like, whatever works for you, Ingrid.
Sure does.
Sure does. And, yeah, this goes on, and then all of a sudden, yeah, they're surrounded by a bunch of blonde kids. And the thing is open. Nothing was going to happen. I mean, this is daytime. There are people, like, cooking on, like, on an open fire right outside the thing. Nothing's going to happen. I don't think.
It was, like, just, it was a weird moment, though, that they were having, even, like, in the, I mean, why not just go to the town square? Right.
You know what? Just go to Hank and throw him a dollar to go use the back room if you really need to.
Yeah, right.
Mark's fancy. So they're looking, the kids are all together and they're looking at fireworks. And they're kind of getting bummed out because, well, I'll just play it.
Is that it?
That's all I had.
My pa said he'd take me to Philadelphia next 4th of July. He says they got the best fireworks there because that's where it got started in the first place.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
What got started there? Fireworks? Because that's from China.
I think she was talking about 4th of July because they signed the Declaration of Independence there, but...
Yeah, but this is the end of the world.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. That kid... I don't know what she's talking about. Even her she doesn't thoughts, know what she's talking about.
Her thoughts are as smooth as her hair, which is to say.
Looks like my poodle. Smooth. Yeah.
Now we'll never get there to see it.
I'll never have a ranch of my own.
I'll never become a doctor. It sure is dark. I think this is what it'll be like after the comet. We're all gone.
I bet it'll be just like this.
But we'll all be together. How do you know that? How can anybody know what heaven's like? I heard it says in the Bible that we all look different in heaven. So that you can't recognize your family.
So, Kelly, can we get a fact check on that? Is there any... Did you ever hear of that?
No, it really doesn't say that. Like... Her little statement there is not, it doesn't appear anywhere in the Bible. But I have heard people say things like that. So like, I think it's kind of one of, I mean, there are all kinds of like ideas floating around out there that people have about like heaven and stuff.
Sure.
That who knows where they came from, you know? And I think it's just kind of one of those things.
I think this girl is
it's not actually like derived from anything that's like in the Bible. It's just something I don't know where it came from. But.
I think this young lady is full of inaccuracies, and the Cheyenne should do fact checks on her very often.
Yeah.
Cheyenne fact check.
Cloud Dancing needs to, like, personally tutor this girl.
He'll step out of the shadows, actually. Cheyenne, believe. You know, unless you are burned, the spirit does not make it to the other side.
No, that was a sad episode.
Oh, so sad. All right. And I don't like you making fun of that episode because blah, 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 blah. I was crying like a baby with that episode.
It was really sad. It's a tough one.
Mm-hmm. A number of them. You know what? I'd say the third season to have a couple of tearjerkers that things start getting really serious.
Yeah. I mean, like Washita is like, whoa.
Yeah. So here we are. Brian seems to have delusions of grandeur where he feels as though his actions are actually causing the entire world to end.
Yeah, I think Brian needs to go see the school counselor.
Well, I think, isn't that the Reverend? And at this point, I don't think, does the Reverend believe that the end of the world is coming, in your opinion, at this point?
I think that he is like very concerned about it and he like does not want to believe it,
mm-hmm.
but he has like doubts. And I think that there are like these things where, we see this kind of throughout the series sometimes where he's like, I think I should know better than this, but he still kind of gets a little bit swept up in things.
But from a Christian...
or he could even say that since he's like, you know, a reverend, that it's like, well, he should be like drawing on the Bible to, you know, try to find answers for stuff. Because that's kind of like what his job is, but then he'll just kind of, you know, be a little clueless about things. I think it's like, I think he has like doubts. He's plagued by mm-hmm. doubts. I guess I'll put it that way.
But from a Christian point of view, I mean, you could make a correlation of revelations here, I think. and you know, the end of times, and you could, you know, it's all very open for interpretation. And if you have this, if you have these signs around you, and you have this assumption that maybe it's happening worldwide because, you know, they don't have the kind of communication like we do, then of course, you know, maybe they do really kind of see this as the end of times. Or the coming of Christ, really. I mean, that would be the, you know, that really would have been his belief system.
Right.
No, not the, not the coming of Christ. Coming of Christ again?
The second coming.
Is it the second coming? Is that, mm-hmm. All right, Revelation represents the second coming of Christ, right?
I mean, yeah, it's like a really complicated book, but yeah, simply put.
So I'm saying with the Jews, yeah. The Jews believe the first coming of Christ, you know, like, mm-hmm. You know, just that's where the disconnect is the New Testament. But, all right, so here we go. I'm going to play Brian just talking about how he might be responsible.
If you take something from somebody and they start getting mad, do you think they'd stop being mad if you put it back?
I suppose so. Are you sure Colleen didn't say where she was going?
This reminds me of the Brady Bunch with when they take the tiki idol from the cave. I don't know if you ever saw that.
Yeah.
And then Greg
and
is
then
wearing it.
It's just like disastrous because of that.
And yeah, and Peter wakes up and there's like a tarantula on his chest. And then Greg, you know, is wearing the, I think it's called a tiki idol. I'm not really sure. And yeah, surfing accident, all these terrible things happen. Good episode, Vincent Price. All right, here we go.
Yeah.
She's doing grown up stuff.
That's kind of weird. She's doing grown-up stuff. That's where.
And then it's just like quiet in there, like some crickets. It's like, what is that?
They would be more concerned if it was Colleen One, I think.
What do you mean? No.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Where's she?
I'm not saying why. You are.
Fine.
She don't want anybody looking for her.
Where have you been? Colleen?
I wanted to do something fun with my friends before it was too late.
Now, Colleen, I promise you.
Can you promise me for sure what's going to happen tomorrow?
Well, Colleen, how many times are you going to say your name?
No, I know. Like the last time I watched this episode with my husband, he was like, do you feel like they're saying Colleen way more than normal just to try to drive home that this person is Colleen?
I do, Colleen.
Because it's the first time that she's there.
Well, Kelly.
The new actress.
You know, just well, Kelly. Yes, I do think so, Kelly, because... all right, I'll play the rest of this scene, Kelly.
Sully, can you make sure nothing bad happens?
No. Nobody can do that.
No, Colleen, there's no reason to fear tomorrow any more than the next day or the day after that.
There is no next day or the day after that.
Of course there is. I have no fear.
Just because you're not afraid doesn't mean I'm not afraid.
This is where they're kind of failing as parents, I would say.
Well, Dr. Quinn is very just concerned with her, like, scientific approach mm-hmm. and with just how stupid the whole thing is. And because of that, she's completely overlooking the way that the kids are feeling about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean, she's completely unaware of, like, you know, Brian's, like, delusional state of mind about it. And the thing that, you know, Colleen is feeling really anxious about the whole thing. And she's just, like, completely out of touch with all of that. And
right. Just because it might not be actually happening doesn't mean it doesn't affect you in the same way as if it is happening.
Right. And then also, like, I mean, these are kids, too. So, like, I mean, you're an adult and you have all this education and stuff. But mm-hmm. they're young and they don't have... you know, the education that you have. And like, I mean, Colleen has a point. I mean, like, just cause you're not afraid, you can't just like invalidate the way that she feels about it.
Right. I couldn't agree more. Yeah, this is where I'm hoping that as the show progresses, they become better parents.
Yeah. I mean, I would say there are definitely like moments where you're like, wow, they've really like you know, grown in their parenting style. And then there are other times when you're kind of like, I don't know about that. But I mean, that's probably just like real life too. Like nobody's perfect, right?
Yeah. In this scene, Michaela and the Reverend are getting together, and Reverend's like, all right, well, have a good end of the world. You know, he's pretty much, he's pretty much convinced at this point that it's actually happening. And Michaela's got her long duster on, and she's there to talk to Reverend.
Reverend?
Do you know they have these, like, little stones next to the side, I guess? Like,
yeah, it's like a little walkway up to the church.
Yeah, it's weird, but it also keeps... I think it's also to create a line away from the dip where the bridge is, because they have a little stream there, maybe. But it's not, like, well done at all. Mm-hmm. The stones are all like kind of cockeyed.
Kind of haphazard.
Yeah, it's like, who did this, Brian? Just kind of did it.
Are you all right?
I'm a little tired. I think I've heard the confession of everybody in town these last 2 days.
Do you have room for one more?
Yes, of course.
It's Colleen. She's afraid.
We're all afraid.
Yes, but I'm not sure what to do.
So what are we afraid of right now, by the way? I mean, if we could just kind of put on paper what's happened. There was an earthquake with a geyser.
Right.
And the electricity thing blew up from the telegram.
Those are really the only two.
The red water was
right, because everything else, like Hank and Lauren did, and there was like a thunderstorm. You know, we heard some thunder.
Right, there's a storm coming, like a hurricane even.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
They don't get hurricanes in Colorado.
They don't? Well, they're getting something. But it's just, it's a storm. You know, it's
are
not,
you serious?
I don't know anything about Colorado. I'm curious why they're so foggy.
I mean, like, they're not coastal. They could get, like, I guess, maybe. But
you have to remember, as a New Yorker, it really... There's New York, and then there's the rest of the country. So
sure.
I don't really think about it, but you're right. Yeah, I guess they wouldn't, but they get other storms. I mean, of course, there's what other kind of windstorms are there? Tornadoes? Do they get tornadoes?
Yeah, there's an episode where they get a tornado. Actually,
I'd say a tornado is kind of similar to a hurricane in a lot of ways. Maybe not.
Scarier. I think it's scarier.
I've never been in one, but I can imagine. But it looks to me like a normal storm. Like, you know, it just doesn't seem to me to be so end of world worthy, I guess.
They're just interpreting it that way because they think it's the end of the world.
Yeah. But, you know, just the fact that, you know, the water that's red is not, you know, it's a hoax, and the horse, you know. And he admitted to it. So, I don't know. It just seems to me more people would think, like, well, maybe it's all just kind of a hooey. But not, you know. It is 1868, supposedly.
Who can be sure of what to do at a time like this?
Well, I thought perhaps you might know.
And so I should. But I don't.
Well, we all have times of uncertainty.
Do you? Do you have times when you feel that you're not sure you can give a patient the help they need?
Of course.
What do you do?
I just simply do the best I can.
Do you tell them that you're unsure of yourself?
I try to be honest.
So you always tell your patients the truth?
Often patients with difficult prognosis will know the truth without me saying it.
What happens then?
Then I try to be there for them, in whatever way I can. Those patients don't need my certainty, they need me.
And they kind of go on and on, but it's just, it doesn't...
Get over yourself, Michaela, don't make this all about you. No, I'm just kidding.
She kind of is, you know, it's...
I have to say, like, I think her whole confession, I'm like, you're not really, like, confessing anything. You're just kind of like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, she just wants to talk, or something.
Yeah, really... yeah. She just is like, I have a confession to make, but then she's just like, oh, I don't think I really like. Like, basically, it's like, I think I let Colleen down. And I'm like, I don't really get what you're, like, confessing here, but whatever.
You'll be fine, Michaela. You'll be totally fine. Brian, I think, is doing this really interesting returning the stone to its proper location. I would say this is probably the most in line with this show as any of the other actions, right? In the sense of back to nature and I don't know. I mean, I know he feels responsible for triggering this all happening.
And he was,
you point out though, he takes Cloud Dancing's words and really manipulates it. He doesn't.
It's not right. Exactly. That's what I was Cloud just going Dancing to say. I mean, like, on the one hand, it's kind of sweet in a way. And like, he really is taking like Cloud Dancing's advice very seriously, but he's just like running with it and putting it kind of out of context. And I'm not completely sure how he's connected the dots. I mean, I guess I kind of get where he's going with it, but he just sort of like took it and ran.
But we get a fun scene to watch anyway, and here's some of it. Puts it back and the show's over. It's amazing.
And dun, the world dun, didn't end.
And a little doge comes out.
No, he puts
out,
it back and then the world ends anyway.
He puts it down and explodes into millions of Dogecoin. And they float up into the moon and they spell out the words Lunapalooza. Hashtag Lunapalooza. Lunapalooza. Yeah, we have to like start spreading the hashtag.
Yeah, we do. Need to. Well, by the time this airs, hopefully we'll have had it all promoted.
Well, it's our summer festival, the Lunapalooza.
Yeah. Yes.
We should take a look at the moon's the traits and see if maybe we can even sync it up to a full moon or something. Like Hanukkah.
That would be
just like Hanukkah. Cool. People don't know that. You know, Hanukkah's based off full moons. You know, that's...
Actually, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew that it like moved around, like the dates of it moved around, but I didn't know that.
I'm not saying it makes it any more legitimate or anything. It's just, it is based off of the moon cycles and stuff. That's why it changes every year.
Hmm.
Fun stuff.
Interesting.
Fun stuff. So he puts it back. I thought it was a nice gesture, right? It's a little, like I said, a little pagan. I thought the whole thing was kind of weird to look at. But it was definitely made for a cool scene to watch.
Yeah.
Now, you point out that there does seem to be a bit of a connection between Michaela and Hank sometimes.
Yeah, I think that they have like kind of a weird chemistry going on. And I think that I maintain that Hank has a crush on her.
Me too.
Yeah, I think he totally does. And then... I don't know. Dr. Mike probably kind of senses it a little bit. But, of course, being Dr. Mike, you know.
Is there anyone in the show, do you think, that Hank would not hook up with? Even Dorothy.
Oh, man, Dorothy.
Yeah, I mean, he was eyeing her at that on the circus.
That's true.
I mean, is he just ready to hook up with everyone? Ingrid? He might. You never know.
I mean, I could see him saying, well, in that one episode, he says he can ride anything with hair on it.
Oh, Hank.
And I could also see him saying something like, give me a couple more whiskeys. And
can I coin the term Hankisms?
Yeah.
Hankisms.
Dun, 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 today's dun, dun. Hankism is brought to you by... We can do that at the start of every episode. We give a Hankism. Today's Hankism is brought to you by...
You know, we can make our fortune cookies with little Hankisms in it.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Today's Hankism.
Send them out to people for, like, Christmas gifts or something.
That'd be incredible. Why? We kind of have to make some of these things happen because that's just incredible. It's such a good idea. I want one. You know we're going to both be stuck with, like, three cases of them, so. Hope you like the idea. I'll be the same one with the typo on it.
Be like, I'll write anything with her on it.
That's my snort of the day. All right. All right, so here we go. Michaela and Hank exchange some passion. It's electric. Well, yeah, let me just also say Horace comes hobbling out. You know what we didn't play was Horace taking a swing earlier at...
Oh, right. Hank. And then, like, he goes and, like, takes a swing. And then he just, like, basically hobbles over before he can, like, have any sort of contact. And then Hank is just sort of like, you're supposed to do that after I hit you.
He's just basically just laughing him off. He doesn't take anything Horace... Like, Horace could tell him to shut up and do all the stuff. And, you know, Hank is not going to do anything. It would upset Myra.
He just thinks it's funny.
Yeah, he does. All right, so he comes hobbling out because apparently, we don't learn this until later, but he is actually holding a response to her inquisition about whether the comet is real or not.
Horace?
I fixed your telegram.
Hank, help me get Horace into the clinic.
Busy.
Hey.
He's just standing there.
He's just standing there, like, enjoying the weather.
I'm busy. He's just literally standing out there doing absolutely nothing.
There could be a Hankism for one of the cookies.
Like, Hank, in the back of Hank's mind, it's like, I wish Michaela wasn't around so I could fly my kite in this perfect wind.
He doesn't want anyone to see him doing it.
Yeah, he loves flying kites.
Too bad for Horace.
Too bad for Horace. And she's now yelling, Hank. Hank!
Hank! Hank!
One more time, yell it.
Just in case.
So he helps. He kind of goes...
Like, just in case of what?
Just in case it's the end of the world and he's going to be judged on this, maybe?
I don't know. Like, so just in case it's the end of the world and Horace will die anyway, so you're saving him. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't
make any sense. I don't understand their line of thought with a lot of stuff in this episode, but it's sort of the nature of the episode.
Yeah. You know, it's right up there with the woman saying, like, I'm going to go to Philadelphia because it's where it all started. Like, what? What started? You have no idea what you're talking about.
You and your crazy hair.
You're just wasting my time. All right. Let's see. They basically bring Horace in, and they're checking on him, and he has appendicitis. Which, this is pretty much the second time we're dealing with this in the show, right? You remember?
Who had it the first time?
Somebody else had appendicitis. I don't remember who it was. And she did.
On this show?
Yeah, on this show. And I pointed out that it was inaccurate because the first successful surgery that was done in the way that she was stating would not be done for years and years later.
Are you thinking about this? Are you thinking about Little House when Harriet had her appendix taken out?
No, it was this.
Okay. If you think of which one it is, let me know because I can't remember.
I'll go through our notes, but there's not that many episodes. Okay. Who else had an appendix that almost burst? It'll come to me. I'll think about it as we play the next clip. But you wrote Nurse Hank. Nurse Hank is helping Michaela and just being helpful, you know? People are gathering at the church. People are really preparing for the end of this to happen. The weather is just getting more and more turbulent outside. And Michaela is just we see blood on her sleeve, and she's clearly operating on Horace. We don't see any anesthesia though on Horace. So I'm not really sure what they're using. Did you?
Yeah, that's kind of weird. I mean, I would assume that they gave him some chloroform that we just didn't see.
I remember it used to be like you put the cloth over his face and then it's like one drop right, every minute like or something. There.
I don't know. It's a good question.
Thank God the appendix hasn't burst yet, so there's no fear of peritonitis.
Fear of what?
Please, hand me the forceps. Next to the scalpel. Next to the small knife.
Pretty sexy when you're talking all doctory. Picture him trying to hook up with Michaela.
Hey, Michaela, since the world's ending anyway.
Well, you just, yeah, you don't need to wash up.
What about comments, Michaela? You got any fear of them?
Nope. Scalpel.
Nothing scares Michaela Quinn, right?
Hold this. I'm frightened sometimes, Hank, just like anyone else.
Yeah. What scares you?
Something that frightens all of us. Losing the people we love.
I thought that...
I just want to stop. I thought it was a sweet little thing there, because we're really seeing, you know, Hank being a real human.
Yeah.
And even Michaela's being a little bit more human now, too.
She's actually being a little more, like, vulnerable and honest with Hank, which...
Of all people, right?
Yeah, yeah. They're having, like, an actual conversation. He's not just, like, you know, giving her a hard time or being sarcastic, and she's actually answering the question. And it's an actual, maybe, like, one of the few actual, like, conversations we get between the two of them.
There is a prayer meeting going on at the church. And I know I said that there wasn't really prayer, but I didn't. When I think of prayer meetings, I think of like there being everybody praying at the same time, you know, like a concentration of prayer, that type of thing. And yeah. I don't know if they do that exactly. I don't know how, you know, but I guess congregating in the holiest place that you have is also extremely.
Well, I mean, it's like a gathering place for the town, and, you know, they want to, I suppose they're thinking, like, well, if the Earth's going to end, I might as well be at church. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, might as well just go to the church, and then, you know, the Reverend will
And everybody's
help us
safe,
and,
everybody's together.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a good thing. It's just, I don't know if they did any type of prayer that I recall, but here we go.
Buying that fancy china to make my cafe something special.
I'm just getting rained on because you don't have a roof. Where is all that china?
She should have bought a roof. That's what she should have done with the money.
Yeah, that'd be nice. That's something to spend your money on.
And that'd be a real upgrade that would carry you into tomorrow, like literally.
You could be open all the time, even when it rains.
Yeah.
Jeez.
But it ain't the dishes.
It's the roof.
It's the people.
Oh, it's the people.
That made it special.
The people under the roof.
Our slogan is bring an umbrella.
Bring a portable roof.
Exactly.
I laid around in that hammock as long as I could.
There's a guy with a total Amish beard right behind him. Young guy,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I know. I see that. That's funny.
That guy, I mean, it's funny. We were talking about Jack Black, and I don't think Jack White. What am I talking about? Jack White has ever really done facial hair, right?
Yeah, well, he had that, like, mustache thing.
I don't know if I might have missed that thing, but has he ever
like
had chops?
Get Behind Me Satan era. He had, like, long hair. Like, it was, like, long and straight, and he had, like, a little mustache.
I have to look it up. But what about chops?
Just, like, look for the cover. Just, like, Google Get Behind Me, Satan. Okay. Well, the album. I mean, you have to probably specify it's the White Stripes album. Otherwise, you'll get other stuff when you Google it. But, yeah, he has, like, long, straight hair and, like a little mustache.
That's Anton LaVey from the Church of Satan. Actually, if you've ever seen Anton LaVey, he's kind of a cool-looking guy.
Mm.
That's so that for other people to look up. It's like, dear Mark, please don't talk about Satanists on the show. But yeah, did he ever have chops, though, Jack White? Like the burns?
Let me think about this. Right? Not that I can think of now.
Okay, I don't know. I don't even know why I'm really bringing it up. Just...
Yes. I never felt better than I did after honest day's work.
Yuck. What? Working hard?
It's
overrated. No, but I mean, I guess I respect it. It's, you know, of course
I would have
been
okay with the hammock situation myself.
You know, there's not, you know, at the same time, I don't have any guilt of taking a nap.
No, I don't either.
Yeah, I think we should take more naps these days. But yes, so this goes on. The storm is just kind of going crazy out there. More and more. A lot of townsfolk we've never seen before, right? Most of these people I haven't seen before.
Yeah, I mean, like, sometimes, like, if you really pay attention to the people in the background, like, you'll recognize some people that you'll, like, you know, see a lot. But, yeah, they're people that really, they don't have, like, actual parts.
Yeah.
There's kind of some extras, I guess.
Now, should I play the clock striking? I mean, I thought it was kind of an interesting thing. You don't have it bolded, which to me makes you think it's not that important.
Well, it's like a lot of like visual stuff, but if you want to play it, that's fine.
All right. My God, to thee, nearer to thee. And you have Sully and Colleen 2 coming in.
Where's Ma?
Colleen.
Now, this is a really kind of interesting thing. Matt runs to Sully and is like, go find Ma right away. And in 1 second, Sully finds her.
Well, she just kind of stumbles in.
Well, he turns around and he's like, I got her. Found her.
Yeah. I get all the credit for this, right?
Right. Thank God Sully did it. Thank you.
There's Horace. He collapsed.
Look at him.
No, he's fine. He's safe at the clinic.
It's too dangerous for you to go out there right now, but don't worry. He's in safe hands.
Should have led with the he's safe and fine, not the lead with the he collapsed.
Yeah, right. I know. Just be like, he's okay. He's in the clinic.
Yeah, it's kind of... Now, Colleen, too, has... how do I put this? Her concerned face is not attractive. She gets this, like, punim, which is a Yiddish word for, like, just a pouty face.
Yeah, I was thinking she gets really pouty.
And I think she's a pretty girl and everything. It's just...
Yeah.
The scrunched look, not working. Just, it's not good.
I'm afraid.
I am, too. I'm afraid I've never let you know how important your feelings are.
And then on the 12th ring, it's over. The storm just kind of fades away.
How timely, like right at midnight. And everybody's hugging. We even see that Lauren and Jake are hugging.
It's kind of amazing, you know. Jake does make one reference that the reason why he's there is because he realized he didn't have everything he needed. And he looks at Dorothy, thought it was a sweet little moment.
Yeah, I still don't get it between those two. But
I don't
get
it either, but, you know, misery loves company.
Yeah, there you go.
It's not even an opposites attract type thing, because they're both kind of terrible.
Right.
So maybe that means that they would make a good, good little relationship.
Maybe.
Hank, Triple H Hank.
Hank.
Jeez. Is he's checking in on Horace, and he actually has a little bit of concern. He has a purpose for the moment. And Horace wakes up, and he's kind of horrified to see Hank right there.
His sworn enemy is there bathing him.
He's like, did you cut? It's like, am I in a coffin right now? Are you going to bury me alive? Like, did you cut me up? Can I move? Oh, my God.
Graham, in my pocket, I got a dump.
So Hank goes into his coat pocket, pulls out the telegram, looks at it, and just, I'll get the exact wording, and the note says, utter nonsense, there is no such comet. And this is the first time I realized, full-blown, that Hank cannot read.
Yeah.
I thought it was sad.
Well, no, they do mention it. There's an episode on the first season when they're, like, hanging out in the saloon talking about how they can't read. But and he mentions it then. But this is a nice, like, subtle reference to the fact that he's illiterate.
Well, this is also proof, you know, it's kind of not, you know, you can't read a word of it, though.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's kind of shocking, really. When I saw that, I was like, wow, that's very depressing. And he just throws it away thinking it's probably nothing.
I wonder what Michaela thought when she saw that telegram when she goes to the office.
What's this on the floor? I knew it. Goes the Dorothy.
I had to talk to the cleaning service.
You must run a story immediately. I was correct again. That's all right, Michaela. You're going to write about anything else. The Cheyenne. So everybody's kind of going out and they're looking at the sky. It's super clear out. I always like this when a storm kind of comes and goes. It's always kind of
nice. It's like it always has a really cool feel afterwards.
Yeah. And here we go.
Going? Where you going? I'm going to your shelter.
But the world's not ended.
It is for me if I don't get that bag of money I left in there.
Look, Brian, here's another one.
Thank you.
What?
Oh, nothing.
So Brian really thinks, I didn't really think about this until you wrote it. I think that Brian is legitimately thinking he did save the world.
Yeah, yeah, because then he says the thank you. And yeah, I think he thanks because he returned the meteorite that...
Hmm. Now, one of the things I thought was kind of strange, there were a few things. Cloud Dancing didn't reference the earthquake. Did he?
Mm-hmm. No, he didn't. How far out from town would they be, though? Because it was pretty minor, right? I mean, it wasn't like that big of one, and it could have just have been essentially like a vibration by the time it was out there, depending on how far out the reservation is.
Well, have you ever
so
been,
maybe it's not noteworthy.
Have you ever been near a geyser before it like bursts? I have not. That's why I'm asking.
Okay. I mean, I feel like, cause I was like, when I was a kid, we went to Yellowstone and there's like the geyser there and that has like, it goes off all the time.
You mean Jellystone? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. But I don't remember, actually, if I saw it or not. I was pretty young.
I'm just curious, and if anybody's listening, maybe they could help us, whether it feels like it's going to burst. Like, is it like a little earthquake before it comes? And, you know, I'm just kind of, I don't know. I would imagine maybe there is. And if that's the case, maybe this is a geyser that would be, you know, really isolated to a small area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like what I was thinking, because I feel like if it were a much larger scale event, Cloud Dancing would have been talking about it when he was talking to Brian.
And if there's a geyser, where's that water coming from? Maybe they could harness that water and, dig a new well.
Yeah, yeah. Because, like, for future, that might be good to know, right? Because if they have a drought again.
Yeah, there you go. It could save everything. I thought it was a sweet episode. It's definitely a different episode than what we're used to in the world of Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman.
It's kind of like a lighter one in that it's sort of like has some fun stuff, which a lot of them do have the fun stuff, but they're really, there's not anything tragic that happens.
Except for the appendix.
Kind of just really goofy stuff.
except we do get an operation. We do get the appendix being operated on.
That's not really a tragedy, though. I mean, it ends well, so
I don't
consider that a tragedy.
It's weird because we do see him having pain throughout the episode, and I think immediately we think it's his appendix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh. Right, because like, he couldn't eat the food, and he just thought it was because he was upset, and then he couldn't punch Hank because like, his stomach hurt when he lifted his arm.
That damn sarsaparilla.
Too much sarsaparilla upsets his stomach.
I have to listen back and hear how he says it. Sarsaparilla.
Sarsaparilla.
Like Cheyenne. Or Hank.
Hank.
Well, this brings us to the end of our Lunapalooza.
Yeah, Lunapalooza is over. It's been a blast.
Yeah, it's been a very exciting time. It's been one of the most rewarding times that the show's ever offered. If you have any ideas for a Lapalooza idea or any kind of ideas for the show, we're very open to listening to people and talking to people. And trying
things out.
Yeah,
definitely. Let us know. Find us on Facebook and let us know.
I'd say we're pretty approachable. You know? And Kelly, yeah, as always, definitely. Thank you so much for all the work that you put into this. I do appreciate it.
Thank you for getting together again to talk about this fun episode.
Yeah, and I look forward to the next one.
Me too.
If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe to Dr. Quinncast in iTunes.